This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia. We now invite you to join us for a visit with folks you may or may not know, items of interest to us all, and shining moments in our living history.
Despite my best ambitions, I get into the worst situations, but here I am. All my nights so lonely, the words I say to you are phony, 'cause there's nothing left to say. You know, you say you can't live without me. And every single night you dream about me.
Welcome, I'm your host, Michella Phipps. In today's show, we bring you stories of historically marginalized communities creating space in the mainstream. First, WMMT's Rachel Geringer brings us along for the opening of Letcher County, Kentucky's first ever LGBTQ safe space. Then, from the Ohio Valley Resource, we'll learn about the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, and the UN's report on poverty in the U.S.
On a quiet evening in June, a small gathering marked a historic step for the town of Whitesburg, Kentucky, the opening of Letcher County's first LGBTQ safe space. The safe space is based at Appleshop's Boone Motor Building, a former garage with a wall of floor-to-ceiling windows looking out onto Madison Avenue, and home to the Youth Media Training Program, the Appalachian Media Institute. AMI alum and current filmmaker Oakley Fugit teamed up with friends and community members to launch the safe space with support from the Open Society Foundation. They plan to hold weekly events specifically aimed at creating a safe, supportive, and affirming environment for LGBTQ youth in Letcher County. The safe space opening featured live music, speeches, food, and conversation. Dustin Hall kicked off the event.
Can people hear me? Mitchell can hear me. No one else is talking to me. Can you hear me? Thank you. I have a list of things to read. As usual, she has a script. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, honey. I'm just going to do this verbatim. It's very cinema verite. Okay, a description of what we're doing here.
Oakley Spugen
brainchilded this egg of an idea into the world as a gift for us. We are standing in the inaugural Whitesburg Safe Space. Now, hopefully, this space serves as an education center, a comfortable place for people to come into and exist, etc., and so forth. Right now, however, it's just going to be a place to eat pizza and live. And the next weekend, we hope to have an event on the calendar for you all to enjoy. So, really, that's all I have to say, and then I'm going to introduce Oakley to give you a little statement. But first, let me read you what we have today. In here, we will have vintage gaming. Over there, we have pizza, and Tommy, and whoever else wants to, will give us music. So welcome to the safe space, and here's Oakley with a statement. Thank you.
First of all, I want to say thank each and every one of you so very much for coming. It really means the world to me. I've just like months and months since before October. Like October's when we actually got, you know, putting things in motion. But like this has been a thing since about February 2017 up, and you know it just blows my mind that you know here it is in motion, and you know, it's just been a real long road, and I'm, you know, and it just pleases me to bring so many fresh faces I haven't seen in here before, and you know, seeing so many familiar faces, so many lifelong friends that have, you know, continued to help me like on this journey. Every single person who's like dedicated a moment of their time into helping set this up. All the newcomers just coming to see stuff. I really look forward, and I'm hoping to make this a space that people truly feel they can be themselves. You know, come play. You know, play some video games like on a projector. Just come do photo shoots and anything of the sort. And you know, I thank y'all so much for being here.
Y'all like that reverb? Yeah. Thank you all for your words. I'm really glad that Oakley invited me to help with this space. I feel like it's much needed, and I feel like the people in this room right now can all get together and put our creativity and our love into one big nice fountain that hopefully a lot of people can gather around, and we can spread tolerance and understanding throughout our community, and we can do some good things with this space. Thank you all for coming. This is a song about love that I wrote quite a few years back. It's called My Happiest Days.
final talk. Watch the sun drop.
As the music played, I stepped outside to ask folks gathered what brought them out to the opening and why they think a safe space is an important step in our community.
My name is Daryl Royce, and I actually work at Apple Shop, but I wanted to come over to the safe space today to show my support as a member of the LGBT community. And it's exciting to see this because I moved here from a larger city where there was a long established gay and lesbian service organization that had a physical location that people could go to for different support systems that they needed at different points in their gay life. And so it's exciting to see this starting from its infancy. It looks like something could develop here that could provide support for people, especially younger kids in the area, to show them that there is a life that they can live and be loved and supported in the way that they want to be.
Hey, I'm Michella Phipps, and I came out today to support the safe space because I think it's so important that youth and as well as elder LGBTQ members deserve a space to come together and share their experiences. Growing up here is different, I think, for queer youth. It's because we don't see ourselves and we feel isolated and alone, like we're the only ones. So when you hear of people gathering that are like you, and it automatically feels like a safe space because somebody actually said it. Like, hey, LGBTQ youth, this is a space for you. And so we were just talking about how the last time there was any type of LGBTQ like gathering, even in this county as well as this building, it's been maybe 10 years ago when we were freshly graduated in high school, and a community member wanted to use the Boone Motor building to create this type of environment to where people felt safe to come and talk about issues that they were facing and that we were all kind of facing together. And so it's really nice. Like, this turnout is just amazing, and it's so good to see so many people involved and from such a different age range. It's just nice.
Hi, my name is Lincoln, and I came out to support the opening of Safe Space because I feel like it's important for our community to get together and hang out.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't know. I'm not good at this. This is why I lose pageants. Like,
you would win my pageant.
Always most beautiful. Hi, I'm Jude. I'm a former drag entertainer here in Whitesburg, and it's good to see something has came back to our community since some things have went away.
Michella Phipps played a few original tunes.
She taught me how to pick the fallen flowers, but she's gone now, alone for several hours, and now I'm left here with nothing to say. You're the best thing I've ever seen in this town. And it's a bad place whenever you're around. Please kiss me, I'll never leave you again. Ooh, ooh. If I could go back, I'd only change one thing. When you left me, I would have begged you to stay. Maybe I'll learn to let go one day.
Then, local band Caterwaul played a couple covers.
"25 years and life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that this world was made up of this brotherhood of man, or whatever that means. And so I pray sometimes when I'm lying in bed just to get all of what's in my head. And I feel it a little peculiar. So I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream at the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah. I said, hey, what's going on?
For WMMT, I'm Rachel Gehringer.
You're listening to Mountain News on WMMT. We just heard about the opening of Letcher County's LGBTQ Safe Space. Next, we bring you two pieces from the Ohio Valley Resource. The first focuses on the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival, and the second features the recent UN report about income inequality in the United States.
Anti-poverty activists say they will continue a campaign of demonstrations and civil disobedience throughout the Ohio Valley, despite being blocked from Kentucky's Capitol building. Becca Schimmel spoke with leaders of the Poor People's Campaign about their goals and the campaign's roots in a half century of activism aimed at ending poverty.
North Carolina minister Reverend William Barber is one of the religious leaders reviving Dr. Martin Luther King's last work, the Poor People's Campaign.
The movement never stopped. It was assassinated. Two ways. Physically and politically.
Outside the Kentucky Capitol, Barber said the new Poor People's Campaign also draws on the legacy of the War on Poverty, which brought Lyndon Johnson and Robert Kennedy to Kentucky and impoverished Appalachian communities more than 50 years ago.
Over the years, how we found out that really the concerns of Appalachian populism and civil rights activism are the same thing. And basically, that's treat people right.
Barber says a central part of the new campaign's 40 days of action now underway at state capitals across the country is to show how racial divisions have kept poor people from coming together. Meanwhile, poverty has dropped from the nation's political debate, even as income inequality has increased.
So this campaign in some way picks up that legacy, because we didn't lose the war on poverty, we left the field.
A new report from the United Nations focused on the 40 million Americans living in poverty. The UN report found Americans live shorter, sicker lives than do citizens of all other rich democracies, and that the U.S. has the greatest income inequality. The Poor People's Campaign is hoping to draw attention to American poverty by grooming leaders from many walks of life.
It's really inspiring, I think, now to see us widen the leadership. You know, when Dr. King was doing this work in 68, his assassination was really devastating to the movement.
That's local organizer and Reverend Megan Houston, pastor of First Christian Church in Bowling Green. She says each state has three chairs who help to lead the movement on a local level.
The new Poor People's Campaign talks about poverty, racism, militarism, and then we also are talking about ecological devastation because we think that's the greatest threat to our national security. So it is deeply rooted and the legacy that Reverend King left for us.
Retired Kentucky coal miner Stanley Sturgill says laws that weaken unions, remove worker protections, and keep wages low need to be repealed. Sturgill is from Harlan County, Kentucky, and was a union miner. He says a campaign to address poverty has to demand an end to anti-union laws.
We have an administration right now in place that is doing everything they can to set us back. We got an old saying in the coal mines, it's rough at the face. Well, where I live in southeastern Kentucky, it's rough at the face.
Nearly 400 people joined Reverend Houston for the campaign's fifth rally in Frankfort, Kentucky. Protesters were denied access to the state capitol as a group, but were told two people at a time could come in.
Imagine what will happen in Kentucky when all those people come together. Change is going to happen. And that's why they're blocking us out of the Capitol. They know they can't stop the power of that.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Frankfort, Kentucky.
The UN report says that of the 40 million poor Americans, about 5.3 million live in, quote, third world conditions of absolute poverty. The study also suggests the recent tax reform bill will worsen the situation for U.S. citizens and ensure that the country remains the most unequal society in the developed world. UN Special Rapporteur for Human Rights Philip Alston says poverty has significant human rights implications.
I think that if people are really living in very poor circumstances, their ability to exercise a lot of their basic civil rights is greatly impaired.
The report finds the U.S. has the highest rate of income inequality among Western countries. In 2018, the country had more than 25% of the world's billionaires. Alston also found the U.S. doesn't provide adequate funding to address its opioid crisis. The country also has one of the lowest voter turnout rates among developed countries, with just a little more than half of the population casting ballots in the 2016 presidential election. Alston says it's the responsibility of the government to make sure its people are able to live with dignity. He hopes this report will enlighten leaders in the U.S. to improve the lives of those in poverty.
I think one of my challenges, to the extent that I find really serious problems, is to shed light on those, put the spotlight on them, and hopefully a government that really cares would then respond and try to address those problems.
Some of the report's suggestions include reducing the incarcerated population, funding social programs, recognizing a right to health care, and reducing income inequality. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
That's it for this episode of Mountain News, featuring stories of historically marginalized communities creating space in the mainstream. If you'd like to listen to this or previous episodes again, you can find them on our website, www.wmmt.org, or download Mountain News wherever you get your podcast. I've been your host, Michella Phipps. Thanks for listening to Real People Radio.
This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.